All right, before the news, two Grand Slam, 725. John, you have a fundamental sports question.
Yeah, and it's really, when is it okay to talk trash? When is it okay to taunt? Because there was a situation over the weekend where Noah Lyles, guy that we have talked a little bit about, and I don't think the race between him and the cheetah is really ever going to happen. But he was racing in the 200 against Bednarik, and teammate, all right, on you know, Team USA, but it's a very individual sport.
Yes.
And so they're racing the 200, and it's been a rivalry between these two for some time now, because last time they raced, Bednarik won. This time, Noah Lyles wins. And as he's crossing the finish line, Bednarik was right next to him, right to his left, and he looks over his shoulder, Noah Lyles does, and stares him down as they cross the finish line.
It's badass.
And then about 4 or 5 steps past the finish line, as Noah Lyles kind of eases into Bednarik's lane, Bednarik gives him a shove. So the question is, was it unsportsmanlike? Was it gamesmanship? Was it just trash talk? Is it a rivalry? Like, where is the line? When is it okay to cross, or when is it not?
It's never okay to get your feelings hurt and push someone because they're faster than you.
So I do like his answer. You're very smarmy. And his answer was, you know, what he said didn't matter. It's just what he did. Unsportsmanlike S and I don't deal with that. But then he added, the grand summary is, don't do that to me. I don't do any of that stuff. I think it's not good character right there. That's pretty much it. At the end of the day, he won the race, so I got to give him his props. He was the better man today. Great answer after the race. So
you're the ultimate sportsman, John. What's your thought?
Was there one that was right and one that was wrong? Or were they both okay?
Well, you don't strike me as a taunter.
I was not a taunter.
Or a trash talker even?
Publicly.
Oh.
So there were things that may have been, little sweet nothings whispered at the bottom of a pile.
Oh, okay. Are any of them safe for radio?
No, none of them are. I mean, yeah. It is, how many times can I hit the dump button? But I think there's a time and a place. And I also think that it matters the sport. This is a sport. Noah Lyles is a showman.
Yes.
And this is a sport that no one cares about until it's an Olympic sport. Until every 4 years, everybody eyes on who's winning the 100, who's winning the 200, who's the fastest man alive. I don't know that there's a lot of people, when they face off in Tokyo for the World Championships, that are going to tune in, because nobody's even going to know when it happens. But there will be more because of the rivalry, because of what happened this past weekend. So if you're trying to promote the sport, however you do it, I can't be mad at it. It's not something I would do.
I just think inherently sports are, like, there's testosterone and you're competitive.
Yeah,
and
it's a male sport, yeah.
Yeah, you want to, like, state your claim, right? You win the race, you stare a guy down. It's harmless. If you don't like it, run faster than him. You don't like You don't like that Cary Carpenter flipped his bat last night? Don't hang a pitch over the heart of the plate, because Kerry's going to punish it. Like, that's sports. You don't like that a guy's toe-tapping into the end zone? Catch him, cover him, tackle him, do something. If they make a big play, you're allowed to have an outburst and celebrate. And if it puts somebody else down, they're welcome to play better.
I'm all about the scoreboard in this situation.
Right.
The score was settled. The game was over. The run was over, right? Yeah. I hate what he did. It's a sore loser mentality. I'm always like, but
you don't like the push.
Yeah. No, I don't.
Oh, but what? But you're okay with the stare down.
Yeah.
Okay.
I love Deion Sanders as a player, because he was an entertainer and a great athlete. He could back it up. He's one of the greatest cornerbacks to ever play the game. When he would high step at the 40-yard line on a kickoff return for a touchdown. Yeah. Why? Because I'm scoreboard. I'm winning right now. Yeah, it's always the people, the poor sport people, I can't deal with it.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, I love that Michigan planted the flag. Jack Sawyer.
Yeah, but did you see Sharon has come out and said we will not be doing
that. I know, but Jack Sawyer, boo-hoo. Boo-hoo, little Jack.
I agree with that, but I also agree with I don't like the flag planting. All right, game's over. We won. All right, and you know, go celebrate with your team. You don't have to antagonize your opponent or the fan base. Like it the game is over. Scoreboard. You mentioned it. Look at the scoreboard. That's all you have to say. And so I'm not a huge fan of either, but I don't have a problem with the reaction to the initial action, if that makes sense.
248-539-9797. Where is the line? Because it's not a gray line.
Like, yeah. It's not like he, you know, it was a shove, right? And yeah. And he was creeping into his lane.
Right.
It's not like he grabbed them and went full hockey, going to pull the shirt over his head and start wailing on him, which would have been awesome. We said yesterday, well, one more fight in hockey.
Yeah, but it would have been over the top. It wouldn't have been fitting of the moment.
Correct.
Yeah, I don't know. I
think they were, I do have a line. I think they were right up against it.
Okay.
Because in the NFL, if you high step into the end zone, it's not a penalty. But if you stare down a guy or if you put the ball in front of his face as you're crossing the goal line, they're going to throw a flag on you for taunting.
What do you have to do to get a taunting penalty as an offensive lineman? Have you ever seen it? Like, I'm trying to put your role in this.
I've gotten
like if you pancaked somebody and then stood over him.
So I don't know that you'd get a taunting. You'd get if you dragged him across the field and then you slowly got up over top of him. Yeah, they might call you for taunting.
What if you blocked him into the stands? But
what you'd normally get is an unnecessary roughness.
Yeah.
And so there's been times where, I buried a guy, and then as he is starting to get up, you put your helmet right into his rib cage again, and they're like, okay, that was unnecessary roughness.
You?
Yeah, but you set a tone.
Of course you do. This is what it is, man.
But you just cost your team 15 yards.
And you don't want to do that.
But that's the difference in this one. There's no penalty.
Right. The race is over. Yeah. What are you going to do? I won.
Yeah. Or I shoved you. Like, what are you going to do?
Well, yeah. Also
okay.
True.
And so now we'll get a chance to see next time. But yeah, I am curious.
That's the other thing. It creates the stage for next time, right? Like, that's what all of this, that to me, sports entertainment. So if one guy wins and he dogs the other guy and the other guy works twice as hard and we can't wait to see the rematch,
right.
That's entertainment. That's competitive energy at its finest.
And so this was the next time for Noah Lyles because last time, Bednarik won.
Perfect.
And so now we get a chance to see the rematch of the rematch.
And this is the only time we're going to be talking about sprinting in a non-Olympic year. So good on them for creating a little bit of that context.
Yes, and who knows, what will we see in LA?
Ticket text. You can trash talk if you are currently... Hold on, I should read these before I read it on the air. You can...
They're supposed to be proofread for you.
You can trash talk if you are currently dating your competitor's sister or if their mama is so ugly. That's it, John in Lake Orion. I'm a huge track and field person. I love what happened. I don't mind anything that happened at all on either side. Okay. Mm-hmm. I'm older and don't believe in trash talking. Maybe if you have info that your opponent didn't prepare as needed, then you could trash talk.
I don't know that it even matters if there's any previous knowledge that they didn't prepare. I don't think either of these guys didn't prepare.
No. It's evident Cookie's never played a sport at a super high level, stared on, whatever. When it gets physical, you're asking for trouble. Don't be a DB. Well, I said don't push the guy. I said the stare down was fair game.
Right, yeah, but don't be a DB. That's part of being a DB.
Is what, the stare down? He said he was fine with the stare down.
Hey, let's quickly go back to what Scooble did last year in the playoffs.
Yes!
I loved it.
Gesturing at the crowd. Right.
You know what? He kept the game all square, and it was a huge moment. And he invited it. He invited...
He also got the full name from his mom.
Tarek
Daniel Scooble.
But man, it energized and it juiced up such a great game. You know what? And if Jose Ramirez would have bat flipped and hit a home run off him in the next inning or something like that.
Right.
Hey, Tarek, fair game.
Comes around.
Right.
Let's amp it up, man. Let's have that competitive juice going.
So I guess my line of delineation is if you are in a moment like that, if you are gesturing to the entire stadium, all right, it's not focused on your opponent. It's to me that there's a difference there.
It better or worse?
Oh, I think it's fine.
Oh,
there
okay.
You're more celebrating the moment.
Well, he's directly going at an entire stadium of fans.
Well, Tom was there too. I mean, he could have been talking to Tom.
That's fair.
It was awesome. But if, like I said, later in the game, or who was it? Lane Thomas hit the grand slam. He could have done a lot more.
And I know.
And I'd have been, hey.
The baseball elite, the old school baseball fan, they don't like the bat flip. And if the bat flip is, hey, I'm going to take the bat, I'm going to point it at the pitcher, and then I'm going to flip it. Okay, that to me is a little bit out of line. But if it's just a bat flip and you are celebrating the moment, I don't feel like that's directed at any one individual. It's more playing to the crowd.
Just quickly with the bat flip, though, if you crank one, okay, like I know Schwarber just clocked a ball last night, and you take that extra second to stare, and then you flip the bat. Come on, man. That's awesome.
Yeah, it's what Karp did. There's a little pose at the end of his home run yesterday. Quick phone call. Kent in Ohio, you're on 97.1.
Hey, what's up?
How you doing, Kent?
I'm doing well, fellas, doing well. This is one time me and John agree again. This is a miracle. But it's like
two miracles.
For every reaction, there's the equal and opposite reaction. And if you ain't willing to deal with the reaction, then don't have the first initial action.
I agree.
And that's the way I see it. When that dude crossed over in that dude's lane and he stared at him, to me, that's more than a taunt. That's an act of aggression. So what? You're going to F around and find out. And then that's what I'm about. It's like, hey, and, you know, when you do something out of the ordinary because you're trying to show and you're trying to really dig it in, don't be surprised when your teeth get loosened up, because that's right.
You can't handle losing
about handle losing, dude. Losing is losing. But being dogged out is being dogged out.
You deserve to get dogged out. Run faster.
There's a matter of respect between competitors.
Everybody loses.
Get them next time. Harness it. Channel it. Get them next time, Kent.
And then that reaction is going to lead to them then dogging the other dude out. And let's see how that dude deals with it. They ain't going to want to, dude. Because when you're in an aggressive situation like that, dude, sports is real aggression.
Of course.
And when you're like that and you're hyped like that, dude, the gloves can come off at any time.
Yeah, but you look like a sore loser is what you look like.
You do, but you're wrong. You're wrong. You ain't been in that.
No, you're wrong, Kent. Like, I mean...
yeah, well, I mean,
you've been an Olympic sprinter,
Kent?
I mean, come on. What? His argument is, I haven't been an Olympic sprinter, so I can't have the opinion.
Is Noel Lyles being a sore winner?
Maybe. I mean, I'd hear that take more than I would hear, like, the guy's justified in being a pouty sore loser.
Okay.
Anyway, we got two Grand Slam Heather's news. It's all coming up, 97.1.
Hey, in sports, when you're sidelined by an injury, it's personal. The same goes for life. That's where personal injury attorney David Feminino steps in. And trust me, after an accident, you're going to need an attorney who makes it personal. That someone is David Feminino. His slogan is "Get David, get paid." Well, to him, it's not just a slogan. It's not just words he says. It's his promise to take care of you. So if you or someone you know has been injured, tell them to call David Feminino at 855-65-CRASH, or you can always go to his website, getdavidgetpaid.com. That number again, 855-65-CRASH, or on the web at getdavidgetpaid.com.
All right, a few minutes before the two Grand Slam, Heather with the news.
Well, what's the quote they say, that imitation is the sincerest form of flattery?
Yeah.
Right? Well, it could also just be you downright copied me and it's a copyright infringement.
Oh.
Yeah. There's a Metro Detroit artist that's suing the New Orleans Pelicans because he claims that the team copied his work and posted it on their social media last year. So this artist, Tyrell Winston, has kind of made a name for himself by using deflated basketballs, some old basketball nets to create his art or structures, right? And in the lawsuit, he accuses the Pelicans of copyright infringement. And he claims that the organization's staff used art that mimics his basketball sculptures in this Instagram post.
So I'm looking at it.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like they took his art.
No, it's just different deflated basketballs. He owns the right to all deflated basketball
art.
That's
why I said it is imitation. To me, maybe they saw this and thought, that's really cool. Nice work.
Yeah.
We could do a backdrop like that. But apparently he must have some sort of rights to that type of art. He says he sent the Pelicans a cease and desist letter, which they ignored, according to the court documents. So he is seeking a jury trial for damages and legal costs.
Huh.
Well, it'll be we'll interesting see to see yeah. what goes on with Works that. Itself. Yeah. A fire ripped through a mobile home in Brandon Township Monday morning, killing a 46-year-old mother. Oh. Tragic story. The woman's 13-year-old son and his two friends were able to escape the fire. And authorities say the woman and the son were in the back of the home and the other two teenagers were near the front. They say neighbors tried to rescue the woman but were unsuccessful. Oh. So far, the cause of the fire is still under investigation. Well, New Era just released some new hats you might be interested in. They just released the 2025 NFL Sideline Collection. And of course, there's one for the Detroit Lions. You can check them out. They're getting mixed reviews from
John
what...
John loves them.
Yeah.
Yeah, not a big fan.
Okay. Are you not a fan of the look of them or the price of them?
Well, I don't like both? The look of them. But when
bucks.
I saw the price, I'm like, my goodness, I'm certainly not going to pay $50 for that.
They look like those dumb Kyle Shanahan hats.
Yeah, I would 100% agree with that. They're just blah.
Yeah, they don't have a lot of pizzazz. They're not awful, I don't think. They come in two different colors. There's the blue and then a black version, and they come in a variety of styles as well. They all start at $50. So
yeah,
you can check them out online.
Start at $50. Are you kidding me?
I mean, they're okay. Dan Campbell wore one for the Hall of Fame game. You might have seen him rocking that one.
I don't think he
bought
his, though.
I don't think he bought his either, but $50 to him probably wouldn't be much.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. Who knows? Okay, so thankfully, this man who was exposing himself to young children in Rochester Hills has finally been caught. Well, I guess caught and he turned himself in. So his photo was circulating all over social media yesterday because on June 29th, he exposed himself to a group of girls twice at the Village in Rochester Hills. Once outside of Shake Shack, I guess he walked by and like lifted up his shirt, which exposed
his junk.
Yeah.
It's so he had no shorts on or they were just
or the zipper
low
was down or yeah, he had them pulled down low.
It's
I'm
like
not
a trench
sure.
Trench coat situation. That's gross.
And then those
I guess
poor
I'm not
girls
trying to analyze how he
were
did
traumatized,
it.
Left Shake Shack, went out and they were now in front of Barnes & Noble. He walked by the same group of, they were 12 years old, it again. They started like yelling at him and that's when other people noticed and he fled the scene. But thankfully, he is now in custody. Yeah. Charges have yet to be made. Hey, it's time to play the two grand slam. So give us a call now. 248-539-9797. Let's give away some money.
Let's do it. Yeah. How are we feeling?
I think this one is, well, it'll be interesting to see how they do. I
you don't want to put pressure
reserved
on them
at making my predictions because we just have had some disappointing contestants recently.
Okay. I think.
I mean, have we not?
I wouldn't call them. Well, the contestants haven't been disappointing. Their performance has been disappointing. I was so excited
Look
to have
Heather.
A female caller last week, and I'm not going to call her a
You're
disappointment.
You're so nice.
Did you see what she just did? It's what's on
yeah.
the inside. They're good people,
uh-huh.
even
They're
if their performance
people, yes.
wasn't
their
good.
Their hearts were pure.
Mike in Bloomfield, do you have a pure heart? Good morning.
Good morning, guys.
Hey, Mike, have you played before?
I have not played before.
Excellent. Right. So you know the rules. 60 seconds, 10 questions. If you don't know one, say pass, and if there's enough time, we'll get back to it. You're going to get $25 for each question you answer correctly. Are you ready to play?
I'm ready. Let's rock.
All right, here we go. Who do the Lions play on Friday night?
The Falcons.
Who do the Lions play on Thanksgiving this season?
The Packers.
Hamtramck is located in this Michigan county.
Wayne.
Caitlin Clark plays for this WNBA team.
The Fever.
Who is the head football coach of the USC Trojans?
Lincoln Riley.
Who played Storm in the X-Men movies?
Pass.
Michigan quarterback Bryce Underwood played at this high school.
Belleville.
This band had the 2005 hit Best of You.
Pass.
Who was the starting pitcher for the Detroit Tigers last night?
Casey Mize.
This team lost in the NBA Finals this past June.
Pass.
Who played Storm in the X-Men movies?
Pass.
This band had the 2005 hit Best of You.
Foo Fighters?
Oh, on the
yes,
buzzer.
He got it. He hit the buzzer beater.
Whoa.
Yes. We got you with 8.
Nice job.
Well right. done. All yes. Right.
Not bad for a guy who never played before.
Yeah. Yeah. I know. What's that? $200.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Heck yeah.
Nice job, Mike.
A lot of fun. Thanks so much, guys.
Hey, thanks for playing. Thanks for calling. And as always, the Two Grand Slam on Tuesdays brought to you by Femininio Law.
Put you on hold, get you paid. He just did not know who played Storm in the X-Men movies.
No, he didn't.
Yeah, I mean, that's the one that I was like, I didn't even know Storm was a man or a woman. Like, I just, this is nothing.
Which surprises me. I've never really seen a full X-Men movie either, but I can remember Halle Berry as, I mean, Storm. In the trailers and things. Yeah. So,
spoilers, it's a woman, John. Yeah.
Okay, but it can be a man, too. There used to be Orioles pitcher Storm Davis. That's your Stoney moment.
Thanks,
of the
Stoney.
Day.
What decade did he pitch in?
80s.
Okay, whatever.
I would have gone older based on Stoney reference. Okay, let's go through this. He got eight right.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So who do the Lions play Friday night?
Falcons.
Who do the Lions play Thanksgiving?
Packers.
Hamtramck is in which county?
Wayne.
Caitlin Clark is on this WNBA team.
Indiana Fever.
Lincoln Riley's the head coach of the USC Trojans. He was 5 for 5 before hitting the X-Men question.
Mm-hmm.
Halle Berry. John, Michigan quarterback Bryce Underwood played at this high school.
Belleville.
Mm-hmm. The Foo Fighters.
This was the buzzer beater. They had the 2005 hit Best of You.
I want to say on that, I think that's the closest buzzer beater we've ever had in terms of, like, that was point one.
Yeah.
Literally, the light went off right when the shot left the hand. I mean, because he just had the F out of his mouth. Mm-hmm. That was it.
Yeah, and yes, he did.
Foo Fighters.
Uh-huh.
Who is the starting pitcher for the Tigers last night? Casey Mize. And John, the other one he didn't get.
The NBA Finals this past June. The team that lost.
Already out of sight, out of mind.
Indiana Pacers.
Yep. All right. Your next chance to win is Thursday, 7:25. A chance to win $2,000. It's 97.1.
Hey, if you're thinking about replacing your roof, give my friends at Rapid Roofing a call. Rapid Roofing uses only the highest quality roofing materials and products. They'll professionally install your new roof and back it up with the best warranties in the business. Most jobs are completed in one day. I used to protect quarterbacks for a living, and I trusted the team at Rapid Roofing to protect my biggest investment, my house. Plus, right now, if you give them a call, they're going to come out and do a 17-point attic and roof inspection. And I mentioned it right now, you can get 0% financing until 2030 with approved credit. And they're not going to give you a high-pitched sales, sell. It's the best price on the spot. Give them a call at 888-360-ROOF or click on rapidroofing.com to get a free quote. We hired Rapid Roofing a few years ago. They did an outstanding job. Loved it. Protect your family's home like I did, and restore your peace of mind fast. That's 888-360-ROOF or on the web at rapidroofing.com.
Two-run shot. Tigers got homers later in the night. Kerry Carpenter had a hell of a homer. 437 feet. Little pose afterwards. Dylan
no
Dingler
doubter.
Hit a homer, too. Tigers take down the Twins. Finnegan spinning again, Heather, to shut the door at the end of the game for the Tigers. A lot of good stuff. We are going to have a Riley Green conversation at 8:02. It's honestly one I didn't realize until the listeners put us onto it.
Yeah.
We'll get to that. We have some ticket text from earlier in the hour. Ticket texter says, oh, there's one making fun of me, John. I wanted to give you that one.
Oh, please do.
Let me find that.
Those are my favorite.
Yeah. Cookies is the toughest catio builder of all time. He's on the juice now. So much masculinity just oozing from his pores.
Uh-huh,
that's Stosh in St. Clair Shores.
You are the model of testosterone.
We got one other one on the taunting in sports.
Yeah.
You did puff up your chest pretty big there.
I did. Somebody just checks this in. I love it.
Yeah, sitting in Indian style.
Try that in Livonia.
Yeah. Cross-legged.
Crisscross
applesauce. My apologies.
Of course.
Yes.
Oh, is it? You can't say.
No, it's
Native American style.
Crisscross applesauce.
You could say that.
Okay, yes. But you couldn't say. Okay.
Yes. My apologies.
I'm gonna get John canceled today.
Yeah.
We had the taunting conversation. There is a line, and everybody's got a different line. NFC North conversation, I promised we'd get into this morning because it's been bubbling behind the scenes here at the station with our show specifically. The Lions are the favorites to win the NFC North again. Dan Campbell has owned the North 17-3 in his last 20 games in division. But if you had to identify the biggest threat, who would you say it is? And we've been fighting because John and I don't see this the same way.
That was a shocker. We don't see something the same way.
Are you going to stick up for a Michigan guy? Is that where this is going?
No. I'm going to stick up for a coach that I think the world of that just took a reclamation project in Sam Darnold and made him a 14-win team in that process. And even the year before when it was Kirk Cousins and then he tore his Achilles and then it was a cast of characters at the quarterback position, he found ways to manufacture wins. Brings in Brian Flores to coach the defense, who I also think the world of as a defensive coordinator. And you look at their defense. And I know Jonathan Allen didn't have a great year last year, but they bring him in to help, you know, with that defensive front. He's still a really good player. Greenard, Van Ginkel. I'll give you a Michigan guy. Josh Metellus, who just signed a new deal in Minnesota. I think this is a team that has all the weapons in the world offensively. They've addressed some of the issues they had with the offensive line. Some of that was just Darisaw was hurt.
Yeah.
No longer hurt. Ryan Kelly at center, Will Freeze at guard. Like, I think their offensive line is top-notch. They've got a weapon in TJ Hockenson. They've got weapons all over the place to throw the ball to in Justin Jefferson, Jordan Addison. Jalen Naylor has had some big moments for him. And so, and there's a Michigan State guy for you. Not just going all, you know, Michigan on you. I think that the Minnesota Vikings are the biggest threat, even though they have a new quarterback. The benefit that JJ has, and now this is going to depend on how much was he paying attention. The biggest benefit is the weapons and the fact that he'll be well protected. They also have a good run game with Aaron Jones. Is the fact that he was given the opportunity to sit and learn. Now, he didn't get practice reps because he was hurt. How much was he paying attention to what Sam Darnold was doing? The things he did well when throwing the ball to Justin Jefferson and operating that offense. The things that didn't go well in regards to adjusting when the defense changes after the snap of the ball. Now, there's going to be a learning curve. There's going to be some growing pains with the young quarterback, as there always is. But how much was he tuned into his rehab? And was he around the team? Was he there to witness some of those things? Was he taking notes? Was he holding the clipboard at practice? Like, those are the things. If he was doing those things, I think there's a great advantage of being able to sit and learn as a rookie before you take your first snaps in a real game.
So J.J. McCarthy's very toolsy. Like, I think he has athleticism. He's got a strong arm. I think there's reasons for teams to have coveted him as a first-round pick. He also is relatively raw in the sense that Michigan's offense
didn't throw the ball.
And now you take a year where you're not playing again because of injury. I don't think you're going to hit the ground running at the National Football League level. I think, while I don't think Sam Darnold's anything special, I think Darnold would have been more stable than J.J. McCarthy. I think they're going to go backwards because of the inexperience at quarterback, at least this season. I'm not dooming his career, but this
backwards,
season.
By backwards, do you mean they're not going to win 14 games? Just like the Lions, I don't think we're going to win 15 games. So are they taking a step back if they only win 12 games? But they might be a better team, a tougher schedule. Because their schedule isn't easy either.
The whole North has got a tough schedule because of crossovers.
Yeah.
No, my pick's the Packers to finish second in this division, to be the bigger threat. The Packers have beaten Dan Campbell more recently. Campbell's owned Kevin O'Connell. 5 straight wins, 6 of the last 7. Most famously, last year at the end of the season when Kevin O'Connell started going for it all of a sudden, got intimidated by Dan Campbell's philosophy and felt like he had to keep up and catch up to Dan. I think they've got him right where they want him. For as much as you highlight Flores, he's someone who can befuddle average to below average quarterbacks with these blitzes and exotics. When he faces good to great quarterbacks, they love being blitzed. Please create more windows for me to throw the ball to and get the ball to playmakers. Goff has thrived against Flores. I don't view Minnesota as the biggest threat. I think it's Green Bay. They've won playoff game. They've beaten the Lions more recently. The quarterback's more proven. That's the pick.
And they did give him a new receiver in Matthew Golden, the first-round pick, but he's a rookie, and not all rookies make that transition at that position.
But what's easier to transition to, quarterback or receiver? Receiver, we can give you some route trees that benefit you. You're speedy, you're fast, we'll try to get you on islands.
I'm not a huge fan of the rest of their skill set. Now, I think there are things that Jaden Reed does that are really good. I
like him.
And you know, the 50-50 balls, being able to get downfield. Romeo Doubs?
Eh.
Eh. You know, Tucker Kraft, he's more of a old school tight end. You throw the ball to every once in a while, but he's going to be a guy that, that tries to set the edge for you.
How about the running game, though?
Well, the bigger question I have is that offensive line. Rasheed Walker hasn't been able to stay healthy, and I know I just mentioned Christian Jarosław wasn't healthy last year. But their offensive line isn't one that I'm going to sit there and go, well, Jordan Love's going to have all the time in the world. And I think Jordan Love is stuck in the relying on his athleticism more than trusting the offense, trusting his reads, trusting what and being a passer.
Yeah, he can get like weirdly out of his mechanics, Jordan Love. And if you want to highlight that offensive line play can only make that worse, fine. I think having Josh Jacobs to hand the ball off to is super beneficial. I trust him more than Aaron Jones at this stage of his career.
Yeah, but I trust Aaron Jones behind Minnesota's offensive line more than I trust Josh Jacobs behind Green Bay's offensive line.
How do you guys see it? Okay, we can bicker about this. 248-539-9797. The Lions' biggest threat in the North is, and I'll notice nobody said the Bears.
Yeah. No.
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 You want to make a case? Go for it. 248-539-9797. Knock yourself out.
Yeah, I mean, they do have some weapons, and they've... It feels to me like Ben Johnson is trying to be Dan Campbell. And I think he just needs to be himself. And that is, if he was able to learn enough from Dan Campbell and Sean Payton's offense, be the offensive wizard that people think you are. Just be that guy. You don't have to be the hard ass at practice. Allow your coaches to do some of that. That's why you hire assistant coaches.
So with J.J. McCarthy, he has to learn how to be an NFL quarterback. I think with Ben Johnson and Caleb Williams, he has to unlearn how to be the college quarterback he was and then relearn how to be an NFL quarterback, and there's even more work there.
And I think there's just way more pressure on Caleb Williams than there is on, I mean, who's under more pressure as a second-year quarterback or just a quarterback in general? I mean, maybe Trevor Lawrence because he just hasn't been able to produce.
But league-wide, it's T-Law. But if you want to make the case that Caleb Williams, like, dude, if we hired this fancy offensive coordinator and he's stripping
and we've
things
given
down
you
to
this
the studs
offensive line.
Yeah, that's another great point. They've really overhauled the offensive line. If you don't look the part, if we don't have a 4,000 yard passer still in the city of Chicago, if we can't get high end quarterback play, if we're the bottom feeder in this division, what's your read? It's 97.1.
Hey, Founders Brewing Company has been making high quality beers right here in the great state of Michigan for over 25 years. Their focus is always on using the highest quality ingredients, and you can count on Founders to deliver extraordinary quality in everything they release. With that dedication in mind, their all-day IPA is crafted for every and any moment. It's easy drinking, refreshing, and flavorful. All-day IPA is the kind of IPA that's never out of place. You get home from work on a long day, grab an all-day IPA, and maybe it's hitting the beach, tailgating. We got some great moments coming up with football season on the horizon. You're at the beach, on the boat, or just kicking back. It's smooth, full of flavor, and endlessly crushable. It goes where the good times are. Look for All Day IPA at a store near you. Founders Brewing Company, Grand Rapids, Michigan. For 21 years old or older, please drink responsibly.
Listeners put this on the radar yesterday. We'll have the Riley Green conversation 8 o'clock. And by the way, Tigers win last night. Bunch of homers. Cary Carpenter posing, admiring, bat flipping as the Tigers beat the Twins. We brought up the NFC North and a check-in as to who the biggest threat is. I say Green Bay. John says Minnesota. What say you? Todd in Clinton Township, you're on 97.1.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning. Good morning.
I got to go with John, definitely. If J.J. plays smart football, no injuries in that, Minnesota's stacked. Offense, defense, I'm not too sure about their special teams, but I'm putting my money on them to win the Super Bowl. But
Whoa, wait, what?
I think Minnesota's going to win the Super Bowl. I think they're going to win it all.
Oh, boy, I'm not going that far.
He's with you, John.
You think they're better than the Lions?
I hate to say it. I do. I hate to say it, but I think they are. And if J.J. plays, has a good year. I mean, he's not a rookie anymore, and maybe this injury is a blessing in disguise. But I think they can do it. I think they can win the Super Bowl. I really do.
Huh. Interesting, Todd. I think you're right on one point. This is a situation for JJ. He doesn't have to go out and be the guy that wins games for them. He basically has to be the quarterback that goes out and not lose it for him,
a.k.a. Sam Darnold.
Right.
Exactly. But
they're not winning the Super Bowl with a Sam Darnold-esque quarterback. Look, I'm not telling you JJ can't develop into something 2026, 7, 8, right. Whatever. He was injured last year. He did not get real reps the way he would if you were doing the John Jansen method of sitting your rookie quarterback. He didn't get those physical reps.
Right.
John, maybe he got a bunch of mental reps, but that they're going to drop him into the deep end, win this division, I don't see it, beat the Lions a single time, they haven't done it in 3 years, win the Super Bowl, that's the phone call we just took.
See, I think threat might even be a strong word here because I think the Lions are winning the division. I think we're arguing about second place here because I don't think there's going to really be a threat. I don't think it's going to be like last year where you come down to the last game. I like the Vikings as the second best team in the NFC North because I actually think JJ will probably play better than Darnold. There'll be rookie moments. I like JJ's accuracy from college. Accuracy is everything in the NFL. And when you have those two receivers, and I also love Jordan Mason as actually their backup running back. He had a really nice season last year with the Niners when he was healthy.
I just want to back up. Sam Darnold last year threw 35 touchdowns. We think JJ's coming in out of the box as a rookie and throwing like 40.
It's not all stats all the time, Jim. It's about not making that boneheaded decision like Darnold did. Darnold got exposed in the end. We all thought it was fraudulent.
Sure, but and we think a quarterback up. With and no again, reps is not going to make those mistakes.
And again, I will go back to he doesn't have to be. They needed Sam Darnold to win games last year. I think that the way, and Kevin O'Connell's going to learn, he's a guy that I think is going to adjust year to year. He's not going to expect JJ to go out there. And they may lose a game because he can't go out there and win. At some point, that's the job of a starting quarterback. Go out there and put together a two-minute drive to win. We've seen Jared Goff do that. We've seen other quarterbacks do that. I'm not saying he can't, but he just simply has to be a guy that goes out there and doesn't lose game form. Don't turn the ball over as much in the back half of the season as Sam Darnold did in the crunch time moments.
And here's my problem, too. Also with the Packers and bringing them maybe down some. I don't think Jordan Love's very good. And this is a very divisive opinion because some people think he's an MVP candidate. I've heard some national people say that. I don't know what you're seeing. I'll go back to the game on the Thursday night last year after Thanksgiving that the Lions beat them. If he was all that, he should have taken advantage of that Lions defense. Mm-hmm. He should have lit them up just like Josh Allen did and just like Jaden Daniels. Problem is, he's not a top 10 quarterback, and that's why he didn't do it, and that's why they didn't win that game.
I won't fight you on that. I think he's probably, without listing all the QBs out, 15, 16.
He's middle of the pack.
Yeah. Now, what's JJ? Because I don't think he's middle of the pack as a rookie. And I know the case is the supporting cast is better in Minnesota. I've watched Green Bay more recently beat Detroit. I've watched Green Bay win a playoff game, something this great Kevin O'Connell has not done, right? So I put Green Bay a little higher right now. A little more stability at quarterback, a little more proven postseason success. The Lions are going to be judged by the postseason, and that's the bigger threat late in the season.
And I know you keep going to, the Vikings haven't beat the Lions, and Green Bay has. The Lions aren't the only opponent they'll be playing.
Right.
But we're discussing in context of, for the Lions. The Lions are going to decide this division by the games they play.
They're going to play 17 games, yeah. And it's not always going to be against Kevin O'Connell and the Vikings.
I mean, you look at a play I don't expect JJ to make a play like Jordan Love did last year against the Lions in Green Bay. That's an embarrassment, that play was. It's like, I just don't think he's very good. And I think he gets a lot of mileage out of beating a bad, bad Dallas team in the playoffs, when they ran the ball like crazy.
Let's get to Scott in Farmington. You're on 97.1.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Good.
Hey, listen, with regards to Sam Darnold, J.J. McCarthy comparison and saying they don't need another Sam Darnold, that's exactly what they need. Sam Darnold had two bad games last year. Other than that, against us and then against, I can't remember, in the playoff, the Rams, Sam Darnold lit it up. They would be lucky for J.J. McCarthy to have a Sam Darnold-esque type year again. That would propel them where they need to be. I think it's Green Bay. I think Green Bay is stacked. And I think Green Bay, with the lack of a number one receiver, they have a lot of really good number twos. And I think they're stacked across the board. I think it's Green Bay's our competition.
I'm with you. Appreciate it, Scott. Few ticket text here says the Lions' biggest threat in the North is the pack. I never thought Ben Johnson was the dude making things happen here, so I think the Bears fell for the hot name and will be a mess. Ben is not a head coach. Says the Vikings have QB questions. We just got to stay healthy.
I think health is going to play a large factor into the success of the Detroit Lions this year.
Text says we'll lose at the Ravens, Chiefs, Redskins, and Philly. That leaves us three L's to play with, even if one's at Green Bay on opening day. It says, don't forget about the biggest NFC North threat. I don't care about one seeds. Or it says, don't care about the biggest threat. Don't care about one seeds. Forget glitz and glamour. We're our own biggest threat. If we handle business, we're unstoppable. Trent and Milligan. Doing an eyeball test of the Packers' schedule, they could win 12 games.
Tom, you got your own city now? Did they rename?
Milligan, not Milligan.
Did it say Milligan?
Milligan.
I thought it said Millington.
Oh.
Mew.
Sorry.
Millington.
Tecumseh.
You're in his head.
It's all the love.
Yeah, he's in my head.
Yeah, they renamed Tecumseh. It's Milligan Town.
248-539-9797. Lions, big threat. Who in the division is the biggest concern? We're going to talk a little Tiger baseball in the 8 o'clock hour. Plus, how about this? USA Today coaches poll is out. John, we don't need an excuse to talk college football, but we will have a Tuesday touchdown. We'll go through some of the big storylines ahead of college football. That's at 8:35. It's 97.1.